influence in our lives, and to thank God for keeping us day by day. So that's why I'm very happy to see you. I'm truly very happy. And I'm using that word, H-A-P-P-Y. I'm really happy to see all of you, to see your children, to see our families. And we are well here. We are, you know, doing the best that we can. And I thank the Lord. Brother Wally has already read the theme and the passage that I would like to consider for the next 2 weeks. And some of you are studying with us on Saturday, so I feel that I'm in touch with, you know, most of us. But it's just good, you know, to have this time where our children are with us, where everyone is with us, and we can encourage ourselves. So in the 70s, there was a group called the Mighty Diamonds, and they released an album. Then, you know, there was a crossover of the Caribbean reggae music into Nigeria, and it flooded Nigeria. There was a hint of Pan-Africanism, and there was there were people who could make records by quoting the Bible. And they, it was just part and parcel of the way, you know, that Rastafarian culture was. I'm not advocating that, but I do acknowledge when people just naturally quote the Bible. It's just, that's just part and parcel of their lives. There was an album that came, and most, you know, I Need a Roof and Marcus Garvey, but there was something they said, which is very apropos to this time that we live in. He said, they never loved Marcus. That was the tune. He said, Marcus Garvey prophesied, say, man, I go find his back against the wall. He got to beat her. Is it, and that is the times that we're in. You know, Bob Dylan said a hard rain is going to fall. And, you know, you listen to some of, you know, Knocking on Heaven's Door, and you read some of these very dark rendering of just worldly poets and, you know, soothsayers, but they are nowhere near the Bible when the Bible tells us of what God has to do to shake mankind and let mankind know that wickedness must be accounted for. When God says, say to the wicked, it will not be well with you. That is true. But say to the righteous, it shall be well with you. That is true. So the theme I want to explore this morning, and I want to share it with us as a family. You're free to ask a question either by chat or raise your hand. I will stop, and you are familiar with me, so it's nothing new. So what I'd like to do is to ask Brother Etim, you're going to read for us Psalm number 23. Brother Wally has already read John chapter 10. So what I would like Brother Etim to do is to read Psalm number 23. Don't read it in your native language. Read it in English so we can all hear it. Okay. Just that's, use any version, but don't read it in Efik or Esan. Just read it in English. So, Brother Etim, Psalm 23, all of it, and we can all open to it. Brother Etim, is there? All right, Brother Femi Ahindero. Yeah, when Etim comes, he will substitute for when you were supposed to.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Psalm number 23. Then Brother Femi would be on standby.
My thing was mute. My sound was muted.
Okay. Read Psalm number 23 for us, and then Femi Ahindero will be on standby.
23. Should I just read it from the top of my head?
Well, it doesn't matter as long as all the verses are correct.
Okay. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. So can you see my screen?
Yes.
Before I share this, I want to say that if you were to ask Soji, if you were to ask Tishe or to ask Eniola and the rest, what does a shepherd look like? They may not be able to tell you because they have never really seen a shepherd. In fact, most of us here may not really have seen a shepherd. We don't know what a shepherd does. And we read Psalm 23 all the time. It comforts us and we use it to comfort others. And unfortunately, it's become a psalm that they read at funerals, and I don't know why. It's meant for the living, but they always read Psalm 23. That's not how the Bible, that's not the prescription, but it's always read at funerals, and I don't know why. And as I was thinking in my mind, because I grew up in a rural environment, I had a chance to see those who we used to call the cattle rearers. That was the closest we had to a shepherd, because in my hometown, we did not have shepherds. So what we saw was a group of people who brought their cattle, their herd, all the way from the north and would let them graze openly. I heard it's now causing a lot of problems in Nigeria. But that was the closest I came to knowing what a shepherd was. It did not allow me to understand Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 is said in a very lush, poetic form, you know, in quiet waters, you know, in lush, you know, verdant, you know, environs, meadows. But that is not actually the picture that David is trying to paint. In the Bible, shepherds have existed from the very beginning. Abel was a shepherd. He brought an acceptable sacrifice to God. Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, they also raised animals. But God named the nation from which he was going to bring a priesthood and eventually raise the Messiah, Israel, but they were a nation of shepherds. When they went to Egypt after Joseph had found a place for them to settle during the great global famine, one of the things he actually said to Pharaoh is that my brethren are shepherds, and Egyptians did not like shepherds, so they lived in the land of Goshen. So I want to play this video to give you a sense. I'll probably play maybe one or two videos to give you a sense of what a shepherd is, so that our children can understand, so that when Romoke is talking to, you know, Brother Femi, and he said, bro, you grew up in, I mean, Brother Femi, you grew up in Lagos, and if you done, the most that has happened is you have lamb chops, or that's what are you going to discuss? What are you going to show them about being a shepherd? So I want to show this video, and we'll talk. Can you all see? You can all see?
Yes. The shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that will maybe surprise you a bit. Believe it or not, this is called wilderness, Midbar, but it's also called green pastures. Now, when you take a Westerner here the first time and you look at this, you find people say, well, I don't know that I can go there, because the Psalm 23, the Lord leads me into green pastures, has been pictured as belly deep alfalfa. Well, you haven't seen any belly deep alfalfa. And from biblical time to today, it's rare to see a flock in the farm country. There isn't a lot of farm country in this culture. And so farmers kept the shepherds out as much as they could. Maybe they would come in a little bit after the harvest to glean what was left, but you don't want sheep where you can farm. This is the land of the shepherd. Right on the hillside across from us, you can see those grazing trails cut there by sheep, maybe as long ago as Abraham's time. They're spaced so that an animal on one path and an animal on another can reach right to the middle between them. That determines the distance. So you can graze an entire hillside. And the shepherds lead their sheep across that hillside slowly, grazing what's there. Now you look at it from here and you say, what's there? In fact, I remember my first impression. I woke up one morning, I was sleeping out in the wilderness, and I remember waking up watching a flock of sheep on a hillside like this. And my feeling was, what are those rock-eating sheep? I mean, what do they eat? How can you call this green pastures? Well, the answer is there's a small amount of moisture present here. They get a little bit of rain every year. Not much, but a little. Second, there is humidity in the air, especially in the evening breeze. Like right now, you can feel it coming from the west off the Mediterranean. There's moisture in the air. That moisture, combination of the rain and the humidity, condenses or drips along the edge of these rocks here. And if you notice, right around the rocks, almost always next to the rocks, you get little tufts of green. Get one a moment. That's what we refer to as the green pastures. So the shepherd looks for a hillside. That's exactly what she was doing. Look at that flock across from us there. Just stunning. Those two shepherd girls have found a hillside that either was exposed to the wind or had that small amount of rain. And they move that flock across the hillside, and it's one mouthful here, walk a step or two, another mouthful, another mouthful, another mouthful. Now that changes the green pasture image a little bit, besides the picture changing radically. Green pastures are not everything you need for the rest of your life. If you make that belly deep alfalfa, then what God is saying, if you follow me, I'm going to plunk you down and you'll never have to move an inch the rest of your life. Just reach out and grab it. Tell me that your life with God has been like that. Worry, said one rabbi, is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. In the desert, you learn the shepherd will get you what you need for right now. 10 minutes from now, you trust the shepherd. Just enough.
All right. So I hope that helps our understanding of what the shepherd is. Can you see my screen with all the writings here? You don't have to look at it, but so what I want to do in today and by God's grace next week is to just have us again go through the meaning of the shepherd in the times that we face, and to have great assurance and cure for our anxiety as the world around us seems like a harrowing wilderness. So now it's easier for us to know that God himself, who is pictured as a shepherd, as he takes us through this barren land, you remember we sang that song, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." Now you understand that as we journey, it is not in a lush meadow. It is in a place where only the shepherd knows where the green pasture is. And he is committed to taking us day by day through those places to feed us. And that is why in the Lord's Prayer, it is very important that you all teach your family to pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our green pasture for today. The Lord was raised in a carpentry home. Remember that Joseph, who took the role of his father on earth, was a carpenter. So why does the Lord Jesus refer to himself as a shepherd? Because that was not his earthly trade. He is pictured both as the lamb and the shepherd. So what I want to do today is to actually first talk about God himself as a shepherd. And there's no better picture than when he led the children of Israel from Egypt through Bamidbar, the desert or the wilderness, until they crossed the Jordan. Everything he did represents what a shepherd does for the sheep. Brother Femi Hindero, can you please read for us Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11? They are all on my screen, but if you read it from your Bible, but I know, Brother Bumi, I'll make this available for you. You can put so that everybody can, you can have a copy of all the scriptures we are reading today.
Thank you.
So that's why I put everything down so it can be shared as a Google document. So I do want Brother Femi to go ahead and read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. Let's talk about God himself with a picture of a shepherd, God as the shepherd of Israel.
Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. Yes. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Let's listen to that. So we're going to do a lot of scripture consideration. See, look, behold, the sovereign Lord, he comes with power, ability to do, and he rules with a mighty hand. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like what? Like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young, whether expecting or have just had young calves. That's the picture given of God. The Lord is a shepherd to his people. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Whatever I see my Father do, that is what I do. So when he said, I am the good shepherd, he is doing what the Father has always done for his people. All right. Brother Babs, are you there? Can you read Psalm 78, verses 52 and 53? And then Sister Roque, just hold on after that. You are going to read Psalm 77, verse 21. But if Brother Babs could please read Psalm number 78, verses 52 and 53.
52, 53.
Yes.
78, 52.
Yeah.
But made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. 53. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies.
Read 54 and 55 as well, please.
Mm-hmm. 54. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. 55. He cast out the heathens also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents.
Thank you. So let's look at that. But God brought his people out like sheep, led them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them to safety, so they did not fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Then he brought them to his holy territory, or his sanctuary, to the mountain his right hand had gotten. He drove out the nations before them and allotted them an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. This is the Lord. This is what the Lord does. This is what the Lord does. This is the picture of a shepherd. He brought them out like sheep. All right. Sister Ronke, please read Psalm 77, verse 21.
Okay. I don't see 21. I see 20.
20. Yeah, read 20. I know sometimes 20, please. Verse 20. Yep. You're right. Verse 20. Mm-hmm.
You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Later on, you will read in 1 Peter. Peter will appeal to the shepherds who were leading the congregation of God's people, but he will call them under shepherds that are under the supervision of the greater shepherd, right? This is where it is. God led his people, but he used Moses and Aaron to guide them. Still building the picture. Okay, let's come to the Adenugas. Brother Femo, could you please read Psalm number 95 from verse 1 through 7? Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear...
That's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Let's look at that picture. We read it all the time. We even have songs about it. He said, oh, come. It's an invitation. Let us sing for joy to Adonai. We did that this morning. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. You can see that the invitation to joy is an active thing. Joy is not something that comes passively to us. That may surprise you. Joy is something that is actually active, that you can initiate. Why would the Apostle Paul say to the Philippians, rejoice? Again, I say to you, rejoice. What are the things that lead to rejoicing? One, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Think of who is your shepherd. Who is the one that leads you? He says, Adonai, the one who is our shepherd, he is the great God, a great King above all gods. Oh, say you were playing, say you wanted to form a team. So let's say, Brother Kunle, in all your many ventures, you decided to, you know, bring up a super team. You fund it and put it in the super league, wherever you want. And you brought all of the great players in their prime. Zidane, Pelé, Maradona, who is late, and name anyone. You have the money, you can bring them together, the great goalkeepers and everything. And you're winning all your games. People will say, why not? These are the greatest players. The same thing. The one who is our shepherd, he is the great God. The great kings above all gods. Look at what he is able to do. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks are his also. They belong to him. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You see? So come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Adonai, our maker, the Lord, our maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock of his hand. So if Brother Peter, wanted to explain to your children what a shepherd is, you got that video, look for some more. Make sure they get the picture. Because if they don't, it will be going around in their mind like a good poem, but it will not be relevant. But when they understand what it is that a shepherd actually does, when they see it, because when you see sheep, they are very helpless. It looks as if they would not take any initiative. They are not going to look for food. They're not like lions. They don't hunt. They can sit and just perish if the shepherd does not lead them out. They don't know how to go to a well and bring water and store it. They don't do that. But the one who is in charge of us in the midst of this COVID-19, whether it'll be COVID-20 or 21, it doesn't really matter. The one who is in charge of your life, Brother Tola, the one who is your God, in his hand at the depth of the sea. The mountain peaks are his. He made all things. And so that's why the psalmist said, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what a human being can do to me. The one who leads us, he is the one who made the whole earth. That is our shepherd. I want to quickly use the life of, I have one here that I want to show again. I want to just share this with you. Tell me if this comes up. Is it the one I just used? No, not that one. Not the one I want. I want to show another one. There's another that I, yep, okay, that's what I want. No, not that one. It's okay. I'll probably send it to all of you again. There's one where you actually see the shepherd really struggling and bringing out the sheep to try to get them to cross the river. You know, trying to get them to cross the river. He has to drag them, and he patiently waits for them using his rod and everything. You can go on YouTube and search, but I want to use an illustration of the life of Joseph as the shepherding of God. I have some there. I think there's something on the chat. I just want to find out whether it's for me or not. Brother Kunle, can you check if there's something on the chat? Can you find out what it is? Is it a question for me? Can you let me know, Brother Kunle? Then I'll check it later. If it's for me, just raise your hand. Okay, so let's go to, I would like to call on Brother Peter. Why don't you take us to Psalm number 80? So if you actually pay attention, you will see Psalms 76, 77, 78, they kind of bring this picture of the shepherding of God as Psalm 105, 106, if you go through them. But so let's go to Psalm 80, and I want to focus a little bit on the life of Joseph. And that's where I want to be today. I want to use the life of Joseph as a demonstration of God's shepherding. So could you read for us verses 1 through 4?
To the musician, set to the lilies, a testimony of Asaph, a son. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, tear up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Thank you.
O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people?
That's enough. That's enough. Thank you. We can stop there. Give ear. Listen, O Lord. You will hear the psalmist in many places. It's like Sister Folake Hinder was saying, God, please listen to me. Please, please listen to me. I know there are many voices calling upon you, but this is me. Listen to me. I want to say something to you. Some in Pidgin say, Baba God, I beg, hear me. The psalmist says, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph. Isn't that curious? You who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. These are the children and grandchildren of Rachel. Rachel is the wife of Jacob, you remember. Rachel means the female lamb, the female sheep, an ewe. That's the meaning of Rachel. It means the female sheep. These are her children. You remember how she met Jacob? She was bringing the flock to water them. That's how Jacob first met Rachel. This picture of the shepherd is all through the Bible. And the aim is for the Lord to tell us, fear not, little flock. You know, our sister read from Matthew chapter 13, when the Lord Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and therefore to reveal the mystery to us. The times in which we live, what do we really have right now? Is it our money that is going to, you know, secure for us a sense of well-being? No. Is it our position in life? No. Nations with trillions and trillions of dollars, nations with arms that can destroy the whole earth, are struggling against a virus that you cannot see, and they are not winning. If it was a nation that attacked us and killed 20,000 people, you know what we'll be doing by now? We'll vaporize them. We'll send missiles from the air, from this, from that. Oh, you'll see, you will be watching it on CNN every day. You'll see how we are bombing that nation, how we're using all our armament, and there'll be no end to them. You'll see planes that fly and cannot be detected by radar. But you see what is dealing with us now? It's a virus that you cannot see. So all the bluster, all the big talk they are talking is not moving anything. And we have our president here, he's talking big and it's not moving anything, because God has come to show mankind that you are, what is your life? You are but just vapor. If this has not taught God's children to know how mighty God is, I don't know what they need, what lesson they need. And I've told all of us to stop, just pray God keeps us. I know people have been binding and casting out the pandemic, you know, the virus. They have, I saw people, they judge COVID, and you look at them, it's funny. People look at them, they think they are crazy. But for God's children, you remember what he said? He led them forth like sheep, and they brought them to safety. The Lord will help every one of us until he brings us to his eternal kingdom. That is his goal. The goal is not for us to just live a long life here, but let's look at Joseph. Joseph was a young man, well-loved. It wasn't his doing that his father loved him so much. He got into trouble because of a dream that God gave him. Yes, he was young. If you are 16, if you are 13, and you have a dream that shows all of these, your big brothers, who seem to be prominent, Judah and the rest, and you see it, you have a dream in which they are bowing to you, as a child, you're going to run and blot it out. He did. And they said, are you crazy? You mean we are going to submit to you? The Bible said they hated him even more. Then he had another dream. This time, not only his brothers, but the sun and moon. And his father was very worried. But the Bible said Jacob kept it in his heart. Then, what did they do? They saw him one day and said, ah, look, the dreamer comes. Let's kill him and see whether his dream will come to pass. But this is what happened. Sister Tora, read for us Psalm 105. Let's start from verses 17 through 23. But I will stay in that Psalm for a little bit. So could you, Sister Tora, can you go to Psalm number 105? Let's read about the life of Joseph and hang there for a little bit. Is there anybody in this fellowship called Joseph? Is there any Joseph in this group? Brother Kunle, what's your baptismal name?
Adekunle.
That's what you use for baptism?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Brother Femi Ahindero, what did they use for you during baptism? What name did they use for you?
Richard.
Okay. That one's not in the Bible. It's just an English name. Okay. All right. So there's no Joseph in this group? Brother Wale, what did they baptize you with?
Adewale.
And they accepted it?
Yes. It's known in heaven.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Brother Babs, what were you baptized with?
Same as everybody. No English name, no biblical name.
Sister Ronke, what did they baptize you with? What name did they didn't give you a name during baptism?
Ronke Elishala.
Really? Huh. Your parents were much more advanced than some of us because when I went to do my first baptism, what kind of name is Elijah? I said, that's my name. He said, no, write Jonathan for him. And that, until I did my proper baptism in when I became born again. So anyway, I thank God for the fact that, maybe we should give some, Brother Debo, what's your baptismal name? I'm looking for somebody to call Joseph. There's nobody in this group.
It's not Joseph, it's Debo.
Okay. All right.
Okay. My son is Joseph. Adejumo.
Who's that? Oh, good. Wonderful. All right. Okay. So, Sister Atola, read for us Psalm 105.
Okay. From the beginning?
No, read verses 17 to 23.
Okay. Verses 17 to 23. Yes. Psalm 105, verses 17 to 23. He sent a man before them. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and the ruler of his possessions, to bind princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. 23. Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham.
Amen. Thank you. So this Joseph that we're in Psalm 80, we're saying, he who leads Joseph like a flock. This is his testimony. This is the Holy Spirit later on just summarizing his life. His brothers sold him as a slave, but this was still part of God's shepherding. He came to Egypt. The Bible says whatever he laid his hand to, it prospered. It got to a point that Potiphar made him the overseer in his house. The only thing he withheld from him was his wife. And that caused trouble because the woman had an eye for Joseph. And then Joseph was wrongly accused and cast into prison. And the Bible says even in prison, he had favor. God is still shepherding him. God is still working with him. Why? Okay, so what are lamps used for? Many things. They are sometimes, you know, most of the wool, everything you use comes from lamb. They are sheared and then they regrow it. And if you see them being sheared, they do not make any, if you hold them just with a tiny, you know, strand, they won't run away. They'll shear them and they'll push them out and they'll go back and they'll grow their hair. It was also the lamb that made the Levitical priesthood possible. That was how they could bring a sacrifice and closeness to the Lord. So the Lord is your shepherd. You are the flock of God. Over time in the church, God has been taking different lambs from his fold, and the nations have basically done everything they wanted to do in order for the gospel to prosper. Some have been killed, some have been imprisoned, and my brothers and sisters, that is our calling. It is not only to be fed, it's not only to lead us into places to drink water, but we can be poured out as an offering. And that is why the prosperity teaching is so wrong. They point out all the things that the lamb enjoys from the shepherd, but they forget that when the shepherd has a visitor, it will take one of the lamb and offer that as nourishment for the visitors. That when they wanted to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, they would take the sheep. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb of God, his greatest work was when he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And by that, he secured eternal life for us. You still want to be the sheep of the lamb, of the shepherd? You still want to be? Okay, so what did they do to Joseph? They bound him. They put his feet in fetters. But what happened? Joseph came out. He was brought before the king. Because sometimes shepherds are also prophets. In fact, the Hebrew word roe and roah, they are very close. They can be shepherd, but they can also be prophets. All of a sudden, they say to Joseph, Joseph says to Pharaoh, what I would encourage you to do is to get somebody who has wisdom so that in the 7 years of plenty, you can gather everything in. And then when the time comes for scarcity, you can distribute them. And Pharaoh said, who else can we get who has the Spirit of God like you? You go ahead and do it. And all of a sudden, Joseph, who had been so afflicted for almost 13 or so years, it could have been more, Joseph was second in command in the land of Ham, in Egypt. And the prophecy is about to be fulfilled. His brothers come. They are grown men now because there's no food in Canaan. And they come and he recognizes them. and he has to give them food. In chapter 50 of Genesis, let's look at chapter 50 of Genesis. His brothers, after Joseph had revealed himself, I will do this and then we'll stop. I'll play a song for you and then we will stop here. In chapter 50, Sister Buki, can you read for us, please? Sister Buki, can you go to Genesis chapter 50, read from verse 15 all the way to verse 21. Listen to this conversation, because the brothers now know who Joseph is. They see his power. Their father is dead, and it suddenly occurs to them, Joseph could be like us, but of course not. Let's go. Sister Buki, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 21.
Okay. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
Yes. So our chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, has shown us how, as the lamb under his father's care, we too can respond. When we pass through all the things, including the contradiction of human beings, some of the difficulties, the valley of the shadow of death, which you, from that video, you can now see why the sheep will struggle with valleys. But they were not afraid, because the staff, which is a rod with a crooked, you know, top, that is sometimes used to pull out, also to defend against predators, which we'll consider next week, is with them. Joseph, who's been shepherded by God, who in all his trials, God was there. And I know some of us, you are no strangers to such, you know, contrary events. Some of you have been cheated. Some of you have been opposed. Some of you have had to go through pain of chronic illness. Some of you have suffered losses, but you have persisted in following this God. His brothers came because they could not believe that there's a way that Joseph will, they knew what they did. I mean, if you heard what his brothers said, it's terrible. Say, let's kill him and see whether this will come to pass. And after they sold him, these grown men came to their father, their aging father, and said, look at this dress. Does it look like that of your son? What kind of wickedness is that? Don't they know? They know that they killed a goat and splashed the blood on that dress. And their father said, "Oh, it's my son's dress. Oh, a wild beast had torn him." Up to the time that Joseph revealed himself, these brothers never, their conscience never bothered them. And they went and to go to their father and say, "Father, we need to confess to you." These men saw their father sorrow for so many years. They never said, "Let's release this old man from this great sorrow." They did not. 10 of them, grown men with their own children, until Joseph reveals himself and said, "Is my father still alive?" And they were shocked beyond belief. Because now they have to go back to their father and say, Joseph is alive. They have to own up to him and say, we told you a lie all those years. And Joseph, now after their father has passed away, they think there's no way that he will not have a grudge against us. And some of us have faced things like that. There are people who have done some things to us and they will not believe that you do not hold a grudge. In their minds, no, there's no way. Some of us, spouses and the rest, we live with each other. I hope we can, like Joseph, leave everything to God and truly forgive. Please, life is too short for us to hold on to these things. You say God is your shepherd, right? That God is the one who recompenses you. Well, then let everything go. Joseph says this. Look, he says, he wept. In fact, he cried. It broke his heart that his brothers would think that. The Bible says actually they told a lie. It broke his heart that they would think he had a grudge. Because he's come to understand that in all of this, God has blessed him and prospered him. This is what he said to them. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God to whom the Bible says vengeance belongs? I'm not in the place of God. Even though you intended to do harm to me, what happened? God intended it for good. So if God intended it for good, why are we still holding the grudge? In order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. That is a picture of how Jesus reconciles Israel back to him. His brothers who said, who do you say you are? I'm the son of God. And they said, do we need any more witnesses? His own mouth has condemned him. They said, he deserves nothing but death. One of these days, he is going to reveal himself more openly to them. And they will be afraid. And he will say, no, come. He will kindly restore them. And that is what we're looking for. I hope this helps you in the times that we live in. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. There's a little girl who put this even better. So let me show you one more last. Let me show you the last video, and then I will pray. And I just want to show you a young lady who, from my side of Nigeria, gave a much better rendering of that psalm. So hold on, woman. Hold on. Let me share this with you. And I don't want any of you to laugh, okay? Just don't go there. All right, okay. If you can't speak pidgin, ask Brother Etim or Brother Bumi to translate for you. Here it is.
Praise the Lord. My Bible recitation is taken from the book of Psalm 23. Nigerian Pidgin language, and it says, the Lord not my shepherd, I did can pay. He let me sit down for where they said they flow in Africa. And God put me next to stream, make my body devil full. If Panyan beats my soul, stay and rise, from the lead me to express way of righteousness because of the name. While lying, if I walk up past way and robber, 419 and to two people go who come join Boko Haram, even reach value of the shadow of death. Safe, if I no go fail me, the rod and your staff, unko, then they like backbone, they comfort me. You don't arrange good amala and from top table, make a joke. See, but many people, they look me, wow. You can't run me for head with persistent intensive lotion. My pop, come they like with Banaija, they throw where they go. True. Better life and mercy go follow me until I quench, and I go stand up for God's house. Lie, I don't go come out for where the daddy. God Almighty, now you be called. Amen. Praise the Lord. My Bible recites is taken from the book of Psalm 23.
Okay, you got you got it. So I want to end here, and I want to pray with everyone. I want us to take some time. Those of you, if your children are there with you, you know, gather them around you, link your hands together, and if they are not there, you just bring them into your mind. It is very important that our children see us, that the only heritage we actually have to pass on to them is our trust in God. It's our trust in God. It's to let them know that you will be cared for. It's for them to see that we have no fear, but that we're also honest when we struggle. You know, most of us, because of our culture, we hide from our children what we go through. You don't have to give them all the details. You don't have to show them all the MRIs and all the stuff. But I think we are in a place now where we need to be able to explain to our children some of the difficulties that we face so that they can see whether the peace of God is actually moving us day by day. So you need to be honest with your children in your growth in faith. And sometimes you need to ask them to pray for you because God does hear their prayers. And he does shame the enemy by anointing in their mouths praise unto God. So please, I really want to make sure that we are modeling for our children our trust in this shepherd. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. But the goal is this: surely goodness and mercy will follow us, will follow me all the days of my life. But the goal, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwells in us. So why don't you, or you don't have, just leave yourself muted. Choose somebody in your family to read Psalm 23 out loud, and then let's pray together and pray with them. Pray with them. Let's read it as you are reading that as a family and as a prayer. Let's do that. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, we bless you, the shepherd of your people. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we acknowledge that and thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the prayers we have offered to you. Lord, fill our mouth with praise. Fill our mouth with laughter. That in the midst of this great catastrophe that is upon the earth, we might show forth your praise. Fill our children with the living word. Let them respond to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that all our children, boys and girls, young men and young women, that your spirit will fulfill what you said in Joel, saying, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon young and old. That's what you said. Father, I pray for our young children, our family, the growing men and women, the ones in elementary school, middle school, high school, and college, the ones doing postgraduate studies. Father, would you, Lord, grant them an understanding into your word? Would you put in them a hunger for your word, a thirst for the living God? And I know that most of us are struggling to get our children to read your word. But Lord, they will not read your word if they do not see your word as bread. So Lord, grant them that. Open their spirit. Grant them a spirit of revelation. And Lord, shield them from every deception and evil plans of human, of mankind, of the devil. Keep them in your fold, O God. And I pray for fathers and mothers, for grandmothers, for grandfathers, for aunties, for brothers and sisters, these brethren gathered here, that Lord, we will be able to live in the light of the knowledge of the shepherd who has said, all that the Father has given to me, I will not lose any. He who has given them to me is greater than all. So Father, we bless you this day. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you. Amen.